Amen. That is one of my favorite modern hymns that we sing. And I love the message that is so clear of the love of God and of what we deserve and the delight we can have in experiencing that love. Last week, when people found out we weren't going to be in the new building, they told me to take a hike. So we went on a walkathon and a bike-a-thon. 76 of us, and we raised $13,365. Not only did we raise significant funds for the new building, and that is exciting, it was also a time of fellowship. We ate together and walked together, and some of the more adventurous biked, and it was truly a delight to be with God's people and to have a wonderful time raising money, but also loving one another. Happy Father's Day. Father's Day for me on Sunday begins with getting up early in the morning to pray and prepare to preach. And then Lori coming out some few hours later and saying, "Can you please go back to bed?" And so I do. And then in bed, the delight of breakfast and gifts and family that express their love. And as a father, I love Father's Day. In fact, for the first time this happened to me, it was last week, and one of my boys was expressing their love for me and their appreciation of me, and someone else was near. I didn't know they were near. And after my children had moved on, this man turned to me and said, "You know, I've never expressed that to my dad." And it was an opportunity to express to him that Father's Day allows us to share love and respect to dads. And dads really in our culture have been under attack, devalued, and sometimes even demeaned. And it's an opportunity for us as a church this morning to say that we will value the biblical role that God has given to fathers. According to Almanac for Farmers and City Folk, the largest number of collect calls are made on Father's Day. I like that because it means my dad's getting a collect call today. So it's good. And I think that was before cell phones, so I don't know how it works now with cell phones, but I refuse to text my dad because he doesn't have a cell phone. So maybe we can learn from this to make sure that our call to our fathers that aren't here are direct and that we actually pay for them at least a little bit of what needs to be paid. Children like to brag about their fathers, and I was reading about these three children that were proud of their dads. First kid said, "My dad's so smart he can talk for an hour on any subject." That's pretty smart. Second dad said, "My dad's so smart he can talk for 2 hours on any subject." Third son, perhaps one of mine, said, "My dad's a preacher. He's so smart he can talk for 3 hours and he doesn't even need a subject." Well, hopefully this morning you will see the subject from the Word of God. And the goal for us this morning is to bless fathers and also to challenge fathers. The Word of God is good for everyone. And so if you're here and you're not a dad, or if you're here and you're not fitting the category, the Word of God is still definitely applicable to you. In fact, the text we have chosen for this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 4, is not given specifically to fathers. But what we want to do is take this text and use it to bless and challenge, bless and encourage. And I hope if you're here and you have a dad that is still living, you'll also hear from us a very strong call to take the time to honor your dad, to take the time to express your love and appreciation to him. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 4. This passage is special to me. It contains Lori's favorite verse in it. We won't cover that, but we can point to it, that passion of seeking God. Dads and fathers, really, in terms of our culture, are under tremendous attack. One of you who I spent significant time with expressed the opinion that the number one attack on families is an attack on fatherhood. And it was interesting, I was listening to Al Mohler in the briefing, which I do once in a while, and he expressed the exact same thing. He said, the problem in the United States of America is a problem of a lack of fathers, people manning up and being willing to lead their families and provide for their families and tenderly love their families. He quoted President Obama. I did not think I would ever quote President Obama in a sermon, but here it goes. In communities where there, and this is his response to the violence that was going on in the United States recently over the interracial interactions. It was horrifying. Here's what he said. In communities where there are no fathers who can provide guidance to young men, communities where there's no investment and manufacturing has been stripped away and drugs have flooded the community and the drug industry ends up being the primary employer for a whole lot of folks, in those environments, if we think that we're going to just send the police to do the dirty work of containing the problems that arise there without, as a nation and as a society, saying, what can we do to change those communities, to help lift up those communities and to give these kids opportunity, then we're not going to solve this problem. Now, there's a lot of political speak in there, isn't there? But I agree with the very first thing he stated, which was this. In communities where there are no fathers, who can provide guidance to young men? Someone close to me was around Condoleezza Rice, and she was expressing her pain for her community, and the main problem that she perceives to be, again, this is an American problem, but it's certainly in terms of what it speaks to the value of fathers and the value of men being committed in a godly sense to their community is so profound. She said, the number one problem in my community is a lack of fathers. Men are there, but they are abandoning the role that God has given them to be leaders, tender, providers there for their families. Now, we know from experience that single moms and single dads can do fantastic jobs. We also know that God created us to be a family. And so today, as we seek to challenge and as we seek to bless, I hope that we can learn from this and recommit as fathers and as a church to build into men so that we can be a part of the solution, not only in this church family, but in this community and in this world in terms of how we value men who are fulfilling this essential role. Let's read Deuteronomy 4. I want to read verses 1 to 9, and then we'll slow down and work through it with some challenges. And now, Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who when they hear all these statutes will say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Learn and teach. Learn and teach. Live in obedience as a model and exist so that the generations will know the greatness of our God. What can we learn from this text for dads, and really for everyone, but focusing in on dads? Dads, here's my challenge to you and to my own heart. As you will hear from me, I don't do all of these things perfectly, but I am seeking to do them and invite you to join me on this journey. First, the Word of God wants us to be teachable learners. I know that might sound redundant, but this passion to know more, to understand more, to grow in our faith. We learn from both facts and experiences. And this is a text that calls us to be those who are longing to learn more. And now, O Israel, listen. That's a call to be aware and actively anticipating what's going to be said to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you. That's the Word of God. And do them that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Dads, and everyone else that is here, this is a call for us to long to know the Word of God well, and we'll see in a minute to long to live it, but to long to understand what the Bible teaches and long to grow more and more and more in learning the faith and knowing who God is and understanding what God desires. We live in a generation that is starved for the Word of God. We live in a generation where the teaching of the Word of God is moving away from the people of God, and this is a tremendous tragedy that needs to be solved, not only in the pulpits of this land, in the pulpits of this church, but also in our homes where we are willing to learn, and then we'll see again in a minute to impart, but it's this longing to say, I want to know what the Word of God teaches. I must know. Not taking away from what the Bible says, not adding to the Bible. Sticking on content, and again, this text will not allow us to do that for very long, but sticking on content, we need to understand that God has called us, and really every generation struggles with this from Eve on, to take the Bible, to learn the Bible, and not to add to it or take away from it. See, the demonic realm does not mind if we have the Bible as long as we add to it or as long as we take away from it. In fact, if we look at Eve and the whole interaction with Satan when she was being tempted, the temptation was not to directly fight God. It was to allow her to add to the Word and then to produce doubt in her of the Word. And see, brothers and sisters, we will be under that same demonic attack to take away from the Word or to add to the Word, to not trust in the sufficiency of the Word. So dads, we must be men of the Word. So that when that attack comes in our culture, in our church, or anywhere that we find it, we will say, this is what the Word of God teaches. We won't add to it, we won't take away from it, but we will long to know it more. We will be teachable learners. And by the way, it's not only objective, this is what the Word of God teaches, it's also subjective. This is what God has done for me. This is my lessons from my own history and from the history of the Word of God. I long for us as dads to be so word saturated that when we hear of things or see things that don't align themselves with the Word, immediately we're aware of them. And this is obviously not talking about being all-knowing, because none of us can be. But it's this longing to learn, longing to grow. It's interesting as he calls to mind experiences, verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. He's saying, don't forget, in this case, the jealousy of God. Numbers 25 is where we would turn to if you want to follow that story. In Numbers 25, the people following the advice of Balaam, really Balak, following the advice of Balaam, now infiltrating with pretty women and then causing them to move away from the God of the Bible, really, sadly, not just to move away from, they kept that idea, but they added to the God of the Bible other gods. And the jealousy of God put on display so richly. He's saying to them, don't forget this. Don't forget exclusive devotion to God. Remember when. Brothers and sisters, what this is saying to us as dads and to us as a congregation, whether you're a dad or not, we need to be a people hungry to learn the Word of God. Never adding to it, never taking away from it, but longing to live it and then sharing with one another the experiences of that life of faith. And that goes into our second place we want to stop. And I've just called this trusting lifers. Lifer is a strange word. I understand that. I wanted to use the word liver, but liver was even stranger. So we're going with trusting lifer. A lifer is someone who makes this their lifelong, well, we would understand it sometimes in a prison sense. You're in prison for life. You're a lifer in prison. In this sense, you're someone who's trying to live this out with all your might in all of life, all of the time. Verse 5. But thus shall you deal with them. Sorry, the wind blew my Bible. See, I've taught you statutes and rules as the Lord God commanded me that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of. See, it's know and obey, know, understand, and live out, apply, learn so that we can follow. One of the things that will frustrate or exasperate, if we want to use biblical terminology, children, is fathers who will call them to live a holy life, who will call them to live a God-honoring life, but are not living it themselves. I loved what Pastor Thomas shared. Here's a dad who had integrity, a dad who was a preacher who shared the word of God, and a dad who at home lived out the word of God. And that is a call to all of us as fathers. Statistics are showing that dads are becoming more involved in parenting over the last 20 years. That is a wonderful thing. Being a servant parent is essential. But statistics are also showing that dads are being less and less involved in the spiritual lives of their children, and that is a horrific thing. True Christianity hears the word of God and obeys. True Christianity then models that for our children in humility, knowing we don't measure up. And so dads, we need to live out our faith. James 2:26 says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And so our faith needs to affect our parenting, our husbanding, how we work, all areas of our lives. We need to know the gospel so richly, remind ourselves of it so often that we live in light of it. That we understand that the God of the Bible is holy and just and righteous and full of wrath and loving. And then understand that we are sinners, we can't measure up, we can't do enough to measure up, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, for me. And then I respond in faith and repentance, and he leads me to a new life in him, and that is where my light and life is found. And when I understand that, now I live in light of that, in freedom, because my life has been changed by the living God. And so I'm one who not only knows the truth and longs to be a learner, but also now I'm a lifer. I'm his and I belong to him. And I want my relationship with him to impact who I am and what I do and how I speak and how I parent and everything about me. So dads, and everyone else, this text is so clear. We need to be lifelong learners. Those willing to constantly grow in our knowledge of the Word of God, chasing out what is added and making sure that what we believe is there and there clearly. And we need to be trusting lifers. Thirdly, teaching leavers. What do I mean by this? Well, the text is so wonderful in this. I love verse 9. Now remember the context. How we do this has been laid out. We do this by knowing the Word of God and by living out the Word of God. Now verse 9, only take care and keep your soul diligently. How do you keep your soul? You know the Word. You live the Word. You live in relationship with the God of the Bible. Lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. In other words, keep them close to you. Never forget. Always remember. Make them, this is where I'm going with this point, make them known to your children and your children's children. Leave a legacy. Impact the next generation and the next generation. Well, how do you do that? You know God, you know his word, you live for him, and now you share from your heart about him. One scholar's daughter was asked if she would have any advice for dads. Here's what she answered. Dads have too many tomorrows. You know, I'll play with you tomorrow. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And she was right. Dads, be there for your children today. This is such an important lesson for me to hear as well, as my children will say to me, Dad, can we throw the ball? Or Dad, do you have time for this now? And as I'm tired from work or busy studying, today is your opportunity. I know this is more than dads. This is for all of us. But for dads especially, today is your opportunity to teach. To teach. Now you might be saying, yeah, but I don't know a lot. So I'm not sure I'm ready to teach. So let me encourage you. What should you teach? Teach what you are learning yourself. If you're a learner, you can be a teacher. Study the Bible and then share the Bible. I was looking at Ephesians 1 this week and here's what I saw, or you fill in the blank. Teach what you are learning. Share what God is showing you from His Word and start today. It might just be a matter of texting and saying, here's something I'm learning, or calling your children collect and sharing with them what you're learning, or sending an email, or taking them out for coffee. Teach what you're learning. Teach them through family devotions if you still have children at home. This is something we all struggle with, so let me say this. I don't want you to feel overwhelmed. There have been years where our family has never missed, and years where it feels like we've never hit. But it's a call on us to take the time to read the Word of God with our family. And different families are different stages. I understand that. Our family is now one where it's rare that we have all four boys at home all at once. Because this one's got work, and this one's got ball, and this one's with a friend, and which is not all bad, because sometimes I just get Lori, which is kind of nice. But harder for family devotions. But take the time to teach. Don't let your failures stop you from trying again to spend time as families in the Word of God every day. Teach them thirdly by your life. So teach them what you're learning. Share with that. Get a good devotional book, or just walk through the Bible and read a proverb a day or a psalm a day or something like that. And then thirdly, teach them through your life. When you fail, show them humility. Show them how to live with a God who is full of grace and full of love. Teach them about the nearness of our God. There's no comparison to other gods. Verse 7, show them the nearness of our God. Say sorry when you need to be sorry, and teach them about grace and love and humility and what it means to follow God in our culture, where sometimes it is so difficult. When you have those opportunities to talk, Deuteronomy 6 will make this abundantly clear. While you walk, while you drive, while you talk, while you go, everywhere you are, use those opportunities to display what love for God looks like, but also to share how they can be lovers of God. See, as a church, we want to be a church that understands home as the Bible does. And family is under attack, and that includes moms and dads and children and roles. And we want to be a church that not only teaches extremely well through our programs, which I believe we do, to our children and our youth, but also a church that equips and enables and unleashes families to learn on their own. When we get to heaven, dads, let me speak directly to you, although everyone else you can listen in. When we get to heaven, dads, God's going to ask you how you taught your children. And yeah, that includes commitment to church. And yeah, that includes making sure they're around good teaching. It's a part of it. But a significant part is what you will share and impart with your own life as you live and learn and leave. So how do we apply this? For all of us. First, if you're not a dad, but you have a dad who is alive, pray for them. Pray for them. And then today, make a commitment right now that you will call them collect and tell them, no, not collect, call them, write them a note. Tell them how much you love them and how proud you are of them. This morning, I got a card for my boys, and it is so precious to me. In fact, I almost brought it to church. I'm going to put it in my new office. when we finally get over to the new building. And it's going to go in a very special spot because of the treasured things they said to me in that card. Dads, you know this. Now we're speaking to those who aren't dads but have a dad, or maybe all of us who have dads. Take the time today to share the things you remember that are good. And for some of you, that's difficult. I understand that. You didn't have great dads. If that's the case, take the time to pray for your dad. Maybe they're not saved. Pray for their salvation. If they are saved, pray that they would live a life worthy of the calling they've received. But take the time to honor and bless your dad. Now, dads, God has given us an extremely important role. Grandparents, you have an extremely important role to play, not only to your own sons and daughters, but to your grandchildren. So here is the challenge of the text to everyone, but specifically this morning to fathers. Be those who are learning the Word of God. And don't stop learning. You might slow down. I feel like I'm slowing down and I'm only 32. Don't stop learning. Don't stop applying what you learn to your life and repenting of those things that fall short and being someone who knows God intimately, and so you long to live for Him, and you long to put that on display to those who know you and those who love you. And then be someone who makes sure that the legacy you leave is way beyond teaching them to work hard, which is important, or how to make a living, or how to love a family. All those things extremely important. Teach them that the most important thing is their love for the Lord God. Happy Father's Day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of knowing you and of being loved by you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you show us in perfection what being a dad is like and should be like. Father, thank you for my own dad, who has shown me so much of what it means to love you and to love and be committed to his family and to provide and to be faithful. God, would you bless him for how he has blessed me? And as I seek to be like him, and even more importantly, like you, as we together seek to be a church family that values moms and dads and children and grandparents and people of all ages, ethnicities, would you help us to stay loyal to your word, not to add or take away? Would you help us to be a church that teaches your word faithfully in the facilities we gather and in our homes, and would you help us to live it in relationship with you for the glory of our King. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.